Next month, public television will show the documentary film Weapons of the Spirit. It was written and directed by my guest Pierre Sauvage. At a time when many people in occupied France were turning in Jews to the Nazis, a small farming village in southern France, Le Chambon, sheltered about 5,000 Jews, including Sauvage's mother and father. Pierre was born in Le Chambon. The family hid there until he was 6 months old. But long after the war was over, the family was still hiding their Jewishness, even from Pierre. It wasn't until he was 18 that he was finally told. To learn more about his past and the courage of the people who risked so much for others, he returned to Le Chambon. I asked him how Jews would find out that Le Chambon was a safe place to go.
There's no clear-cut answer as to how the Jews found out. For some of them, it was because organizations were alerted to the fact that this area was available to them to take in Jews that some organizations had under their wing, so to speak. But for many Jews who arrived, it was really individually, in the case of my parents, because a friend who knew the area steered them there. Mind you, another answer would be that for anybody who would know the history of the Huguenots and have a sense of who these people were, it was a good bet.
Why?
Because the Huguenots had their own history of persecution, and that was likely to make them somewhat empathetic to others who were being persecuted. In addition, they had a very functioning Christian faith. And this people then may not have been as likely to know, but it was also their Christianity was very much a Christianity that mandated deeds.
You said the Huguenots were persecuted for being Protestants.
Persecuted for being Protestants in Catholic France.
It seems that the person who was most at the center of organizing people, but it really wasn't an organized resistance. But maybe the person who offered the most in terms of passing on the courage to do this was a pastor by the name of André Trucmé. What did he pass on to the people of the village?
I think he helped to articulate and to crystallize what was required. Indeed, it wasn't an organized effort. One of my favorite lines in the film is a line from the widow of the pastor, and I'm very close to the family, where she says, people constantly ask me what sort of an organization we had. Well, if we'd had an organization, we would have failed. Organizations, by the way, failed dismally during the Holocaust. What makes Le Chambon interesting in that sense is you had both individuals acting on their own, and essentially nothing would have happened if these individuals hadn't been acting on their own, hadn't been self-motivated, hadn't been responding to their own need and their own conscience. And yet you had a community, and that makes it sort of interesting. How can that happen on a communal level? And I think Pastor Trocmé, who was a brilliant man, first of all, he understood immediately what was called for, and he repeated it time and time again, knowing that this was a population who would understand this in their bones and would respond appropriately.
Do you have any reason to think that any of the authorities or any of the Germans turned their heads, that they knew what was going on, and they knew what Pastor Trucmé was up to and allowed it to happen?
Well, I believe that the German officer who was responsible for that area of France has to have known that there were many Jews in the village and throughout those areas. There were German soldiers stationed in Le Chambon itself for the last year of the war. And there has been quite a bit of testimony to the effect that the German occupation in that area of France was a very lenient one. By the way, it's not. I don't believe that German officer, who, yes, I believe he looked the other way, I don't believe he was in any way a hero. I don't believe that he was a righteous figure. I believe He was probably a very ordinary German officer. He wasn't a professional German soldier. He wasn't, probably wasn't even a Nazi. But I believe he was an ordinary German soldier who, under other circumstances, probably would have been swept away in atrocities, as so many other Germans were. But under those circumstances, it was almost as easy, perhaps easier, to cooperate with the good than to defy it. There was a momentum there.
How did your parents feel about you making this movie?
Terrified.
What were they afraid of?
Well, my parents had continued their life after the war in hiding, pretending not to be Jewish. And here was this son who was going to be doing something as public as making a film in which he was going to be of necessity identifying himself as Jewish, because that was the essence of the story, and hence identifying my parents as Jewish. So they were going to be exposed. For my father in particular, it was very difficult because he was a journalist of some stature in France. And I was unmasking him. It wasn't my intent. In fact, the film was heavily negotiated with them. It took a long time to make, I think in part because I never wanted the film to be made against their wishes. My mother, by the way, my father died a year and a half ago, and he liked the film. He saw it before he died. My mother, who's still alive, loves the film, has a tape of it, looks at it often. And my father used to say that it would have been better, that the film would have been better if I'd left myself out of it. And he's the only person ever to say that to me. Of course, he was saying the story was legitimate, but why didn't you just tell it third person and, you know, leave me out, leave us out? But I would never have done that. Although, in a way, the film may benefit from a sort of a tug of war between the journalist in me, and I was a journalist for a while too, and the first person. So it's not heavily first person. A lot of it is description and objective. At the same time, I don't deny my connection with it. Maybe that mix worked out.
When you were making the movie, you went back to visit the family that your family stayed with in Le Chambon. Yes. And the woman of the house barely remembered your parents. And mm-hmm. I really tried to figure out, what does that mean? Does that mean that she didn't even realize that she was harboring Jews and it made that little of an impression on her? What do you think it means? How do you interpret it? I mean, maybe she really didn't realize what she was doing.
I'm hesitating in answering. I'll tell you, first of all, Terry, you're the first person ever to ask me that question. And I was really puzzled by that as well, of course, and I hesitated about whether I was going to use that, but then I decided to preserve that because it was genuine and it was real and it was the truth. I still don't know really what it meant. I was puzzled by it. Interestingly, her daughter remembered me very well. What you suggest is not a bad interpretation. In a way, you could say it meant so little to her, in a sense, that she did not remember. Now, she used to rent out that room to others. And maybe in a way, even though the circumstances of the war and the Nazi occupation were more dramatic, but in a way, maybe she just took it in stride and didn't attach more importance to it than other boarders that she had taken in under totally innocent circumstances.
Do you think that was true of a lot of the other people who you talked to? Did you get a sense of whether they knew when they were harboring Jews?
I think they really almost all knew. In fact,
they told you that, or?
Yes, they did. Whenever I asked the question, they told me that. I, in fact, think that the people with whom my parents stayed knew too. The woman that you see in the film told me that she couldn't remember. Her sister-in-law told me that, of course, they knew.
Do you ever ask yourself if you think you would have the courage to risk putting up people who were being hunted down if you were in that position?
I guess inevitably I've sometimes wondered a little bit, but I think the answer is almost certainly that I would not.
Would not have the courage?
No. Certainly, the most obvious answer is that I don't know. I mean, that we never know.
Yeah.
That we never know when faced with those circumstances. But I will say this also, you know, all the thinking that I've done on this, and I've done a fair share of it, and all the reading, and is irrelevant. You know, you don't get to goodness or righteousness through intellect. You get it through character, through education, through the way you were raised, through who your role models were, to what your feeling is about yourself, to your own sense of responsibility. And I have two kids, and I'm just stunned at how difficult I experienced life to be. It's complicated. Everything is hard. These were people who had usually more than two kids and who thought nothing about taking in an additional few kids or a few strangers. I mean, the idea of that to me is mind-boggling. I'd like to believe that some of what I've learned in the course of making this film has rubbed off on me, but there is not a shred of evidence to that effect as yet.
Thank you very much for talking with us.
Thank you, Terry.
Filmmaker Pierre Sauvage, his documentary Weapons of the Spirit, will be shown in December on public television.